As I think about this week, and I went to the Reynosa funeral, and as I listened, I realized that we have short times here, and God gives us a short period of time here, and we're using every moment that we have to count. And along the way in that is that God is there for us in the good times and in the bad times. And as I spent some time this week preparing for this message, one of the words that has come up in my mind in studying the whole area of prayer is dependence. Do I depend on God? Last week we talked about neediness, and this week it's on dependence. And when I think about dependence, and I reflect on that, maybe the question doesn't need to be, how's your prayer life? Maybe the question needs to be, how's your dependence life? How is your life in the area of depending on the Father? And so this morning, or this evening, Jesus is going to teach us some key things about depending on Him. So if you would stand and open your Bible to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read the first 13 verses. Once when Jesus had been out praying, one of the disciples came to Him as He finished and said, "Teach us to pray just as John has taught his disciples." He said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. Give us this food day to day. And forgive us of our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Then, teaching them about prayer, He used an illustration. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread, and you would say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." He would call out from the bedroom, "Don't bother me, the door is locked for the night, and we are all in bed. I cannot help you at this time." But I tell you this, thus he won't do that because, as a friend, if you keep on knocking long enough, he will get up and give you what you want so his reputation won't be damaged. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. For anyone who asks, receives. Anyone who seeks, finds. The door is open for anyone who knocks. Your Father, if your children ask for fish, do you give him a snake instead? Or if you ask for eggs, do you give him a scorpion? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Let's pray. Father, as we come to You tonight, we are coming to You as dependent people. Father, I pray that You would use Your words tonight to speak truth to us. Father, we ask for forgiveness tonight for the areas of our lives that we are not depending on You. Father, I pray that You would teach us how to do that. Father, I pray for the families in our church this week that have gone through funerals and memorial services of loved ones, and I pray that You would meet all of their needs. Father, we thank You for our church. We pray You would continue to move us in the directions that You want us to go. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. As I thought about my first encounter with my wife, where I met their family for the first time, I remember driving up in the driveway for the first time and having to go to the front door. Now, there's a different culture today. I don't know how many of you guys can appreciate this, and I'm sure if I asked stories, we'd have plenty of them. But you can remember walking up to the door for the first time. Maybe you met your wife or your girlfriend or whoever that might be. And I stood out there as I remember walking up to the front door. And even today, I'm hearing dads that interview the kids. They ask them for resumes. They ask them for their 5-year plan. I mean, I can't imagine doing that as a kid, but it was bad enough back when I was meeting Deidre's parents for the first time, and I remember walking up to the door, and I come up to their door, and I'm standing there, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, blowing, smelling, make sure, you know, I'm not sweating or anything like that. And my knock at that point was something like this. And I was hoping that nobody would answer, and I almost said to myself, well, I guess there's nobody home, so I'll leave. But this knock was very, I would say, I wasn't very confident. I didn't have a relationship with anybody in that house. I didn't know what was behind this door that possibly could get me. I didn't know what information that maybe Deidre's father was going to ask me. You know, maybe one of those crazy questions like, what is your five-year plan? Well, I don't know. I'm 18 years old. I'm trying to get out of high school. You know? Maybe he was going to ask me something about my background or something. Tell me, you know, some stories about my background. But I know as I stood there and I thought that, I was just extremely intimidated. And I thought, as we read this passage this morning, or this evening, I'm sorry I keep saying this morning because I think it's still morning. But as I thought about that, these disciples, I think, were right there. They had been watching Jesus pray, and I really believe that they were not very confident at standing at the door and praying. And as they watched Jesus pray, there was something about it that they wanted. They didn't feel confident to go there and like we are sometimes. We have problems going to the door and praying and asking God to do something. But the thing about Jesus was he prayed all the time. His life was about prayer. And as I've studied this week, I'm just amazed at how much he prayed. He prayed when he was baptized and the heavens were open. He prayed before the 12 were chosen. He prayed at the transfiguration and right before his disciples' eyes, his face was changed. He prayed at the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus, come out of there, and the man was raised. He prayed before he was arrested. He prayed at the cross. He prayed many times alone. The scripture refers to Jesus going out alone to pray on a regular basis. And he gave thanks before he broke the bread and fed the 5,000. Impact of prayer in these men's lives that were just observing him. They saw amazing things that happened when he prayed. They saw the wisdom that came from prayer. They saw amazing power that came from prayer. They saw a man raised from the dead because of prayer. They saw him strength to go to the cross and suffer on a cross because of prayer. They saw it personal in his life. They saw prayer was a necessity for him. They saw that he couldn't live without it. They saw that it was a habit in his life, and every time they were around him, he was praying. It was an attitude of mind and will. It was just where Jesus worked. Everything he did was a response in prayer. There was this continual sense of expectation that there's a Father that's there and he's waiting to see what he's going to do through his life when he prays. And I thought to myself, Jesus is God. He's part of the Trinity. He's God that come down to live on this earth. He was the perfect man. He was the man who adequately and continually fulfilled what God asked him to do. He was constantly a delight of his Father's eyes. Why did he need to pray? Why did Jesus need to pray? Or maybe the question should be, we might ask ourselves, how much did he personally, as a man, contribute to his ministry for the 3 years that he was here? He prayed all the time. And as he prayed, he said this. Jesus didn't do anything. He said nothing. Nothing. The Son himself can do nothing. Again and again he declared, I can do nothing. John 5, 19 through 21 says this. Jesus replied, I assure you, the Son can do nothing himself. He doesn't only see his Father is doing, but whatever his Father does, the Son does. For the Father loves his Son and tells him everything to do. And the Son will do greater things than healing men. You will be astonished at what he does. John 14:10 says, "Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say are not my own, but the Father who lives in me and works through me." President Lincoln one time made this statement. It was very interesting reading. I didn't realize that President Lincoln went into the White House, or went into the presidency at that point, not knowing Christ. And when he came out of that time, he was a man of prayer. He says this, "The purpose of prayer was not to get God to do man's bidding, but to place man where he might come to see God's purposes and to experience the strength of relying on his everlasting arms." As I think about these disciples watching Jesus and living his life every day, the word modeling came up. He modeled prayer. He lived prayer. He experienced prayer. He lived it out every day. He lived it in his private life. When he was by himself, he prayed. When he was in public, he prayed. When he was doing his ministry, he prayed. And it all equals, if you add all of that up, it all equals to what? Dependence. He could not do his life without depending on God. He is God. Now, if there is a heavenly Father that sent his Son here and his Son depended on him, how much more do we need to pray? Desperately need to pray. A grandson once wrote, "One fall afternoon, my grandmother, or grandfather, was at home with my grandmother, and I heard a knock at the door. The visitor was a neighbor lady who said to my grandfather, 'I was feeding my horses and I felt like God had prompted me to come over here and tell you thank you for some things that you've done in my life.' She sat down and began to tell the story. When my grandfather had been merciful to her as a widow, and he cared for the cows and the horses and done all kinds of practical things. She thanked him for being real. She went through a litany of good deeds, including bringing peace in a relationship with her children. She finished with, 'I just felt like God wanted me to tell you that.' My grandfather paused and looked at her in the face and said, 'It was the Lord Jesus Christ who did it.'" He modeled. He modeled what he believed. Is Jesus Christ doing that in your life right now? As people look and observe and watch, do you say it's all about him? Modeling. Are you modeling, husbands, to your wives? As your wife observes you through the week, husband, do they see prayer? Wife, to your husband, does your husband see prayer? Parents, to the children, do they see prayer? Workers, to the employees, co-workers, do they see prayer? Teenagers, to your friends, do they see prayer? I think prayer is a very critical thing in the world that we live in. There are people that are hopeless all the time that we are around. There's always a problem. There's always an issue. Prayer is the one thing that you can take into your life wherever you live and pray for people. There's always somebody wanting you to pray for them. Are people attracted to you because of your prayer life? They know when they come to you, you're going to pray for them. Your kids know they can come to you because they need to be prayed for. Whoever that might be, are you putting off that sense of attraction to them? Principle number one, God's power is reflected through us because of a heart of dependence. A heart of dependence. When you depend on God, it flows out. Because they're going to see that dependence is not given to you if you're not praying. What did these disciples come to Jesus and they said, "We need you to teach us to pray. We need you to show us a pattern. We need you to show us kind of maybe a method of praying because we have been watching your life and it's incredible. Could you teach us to pray?" You know, I remember growing up as a kid, I knew I could sing the, you know, to do the Lord's Prayer all the time, and it was just something that rolled off my tongue. I really didn't know what it meant or what it was. It was just a repetition, so I did it all the time, and that was my prayer life, is just to re-say that. But Jesus really gives some specifics here, and I just want to go through, what does that look like, is the model prayer. Jesus kind of lays out for us a way that we can pray. The first thing he said here is, he says, you need to go to him as our Father. He used a child's word as if he was going to a father. It's a word that was used in that culture for a family circle, that the kids went to the father. He didn't say for him to go to them as the director. He didn't say come to the Father as the omnipotent king. He didn't say to come to him as the Holy One or the supersized God. And he didn't say to come to him as a buddy. Come to him as a father. And as I thought about that, Father, when you think about that in your own mind, and there's some of you in this room today, you don't have a very good picture of a father. For some of you, when you think about going behind a door and you're knocking on the door of a father, you remember what your father was like. He was a dad that always expected you to do things more. If you made a 99, he wanted 100. Expectation. He was a dad that always criticized you. He was a dad that always beat you down. He was a dad that abused you. He was a dad that hurt you. So tonight, as I say that, it's very difficult for you to stand before the door and say, Father, I want to come before you in prayer. Because you have seen a different side. I had a woman this week that shared this with me. She goes, when she was growing up as a kid, her father took a picture of God when he was angry and put it over the top of their dresser and said, that is what God is about. Now you think about how difficult. She said, it took me 12 years to get to the point where I could pray to my Heavenly Father. Because all I thought he was a mean, mean person. Petition number one, and there are five petitions that Jesus talks about. The first two petitions are directed to God. The last three petitions are directly associated with us. Petition number one, hallowed be thy name. Other translations might say, may your name be honored. It concerns the honor of God. It's honoring God's holiness. It's your name is treated and acknowledged as holy. And what Jesus is saying is, when you go to prayer, you are saying, hallowed be thy name. You're saying, my life is set apart for you. Hallow. Hallow my life. Set me apart for your name. Hallowed be my life. You know, folks, not all of us are hallowed in a lot of areas of our lives. It's not set apart. We've got cubbies that we hold back. And what Jesus says when we go to prayer, you're saying to Jesus, hallowed be thy name in my life. Second petition, thy kingdom come. May your kingdom come soon. It's a focus on above. The eyes of faith look heavenward. We're having a perspective that the upper part of life, the heavens, is a purpose in our life. He's saying, help us to focus upward and not just focus downward. The second petition Jesus says is it's critical, disciples, is that when you go to God in prayer, you are asking Him, am I doing your work? Am I concerned about the stuff above, not just about me? Petition number three, give us our food day to day. Give us our, it translates, give us our daily allotment. Give us just what we need. The same context as when the Israelites had manna every day and God told them, when you go, only pick up what you need for the day. The scary part about this one, and I think it's so critical for us today, is abundance breeds independence. And I really believe that Jesus is teaching his disciples to say this, Lord, don't give me too much so I'll forget you. Just give me enough in my life so that I won't become independent. Just enough for today. Lord, help me to do that. Petition number 4. And forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. This was a plea and also a confession. It was acknowledgement of need, as we are sinners and we need a holy God that can forgive us of our sins. And it's a plea for divine grace. You're going to God and saying, you know what? I'm a sinner and I need you and your divine grace and your divine mercy in my life every day. Petition number 5. And don't let us yield to temptation. This prayer asks for the believer may be spared from the testing that might cause him to go to evil. Give us protection from our sins. Give us power over sin. Lord, don't let me yield. Don't let me fall into those traps. Help me through that in my life every single day. Matthew Emmons had the gold medal in sight. He was one shot away from claiming the victory in the 2004 Olympic 50-meter three-position rifle event. He didn't even need to shoot the bullseye to win. His final shot merely needed to hit the target. Normally a shot like this would receive a score of 8.1, plenty enough for him to win the gold medal. But as it was described, an extremely rare mistake was made by an elite competitor. Emmons fired the wrong target. Standing in lane 2, he fired the target at lane 3. He received no score. Ended up in 8th place. It doesn't matter how accurate you are in aiming if you're aiming at the wrong goal. Prayer aims us in the right goal. This prayer to me, as I've really worked through it and thought through, what is Jesus telling us here? This prayer points us to Him. Every petition is about Him. It's kind of like a focus. I look at it as almost like a pair of binoculars. And I'm going to restate it maybe in a little bit different way than I think that what God's taught me through this is this. I come to God as a father. And I say, my life focus is to honor you. My life focus is to be about your works. My life focus is to be dependent on you for all of my needs. My life focus is to have a clean heart before a holy God. My life is continually to fight off the enemy from falling into sin. Principle number 2. Prayer keeps us focused on who we need to be dependent on. When you're not praying, it doesn't help you focus. Prayer keeps me focused. Because it says everything about us on who we're depending on. It's a constant looking to God. Every petition was about God. Persistence in prayer. Let me read that. Then teaching some of them about prayer, he uses illustrations. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread, and you wouldn't say to him, friend of mine was just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. He would call out from the bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night and we all in bed. I can't help you at this time. But I tell you this, though he wouldn't do it as a friend, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you what you want because of his reputation. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will be given. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. And for whoever receives, ask receives. Anyone who seeks will find and the door will be open for him. This illustration that Jesus is painting here is he's saying there's certainty about answered prayer. In that culture, at midnight was the most dangerous part of the night. In those days, seldom did they venture out at night because they were afraid of the bandits of that day. In Eastern homes, there weren't separate bedrooms. So as the father shut the door and bolted the door behind the door, he would roll out the mats in front of the door for his children. And him and his wife would sleep in the very back corner against the wall by themselves. And there were two important things here about their culture also. They were driven by hospitality, and they always avoided shame at any cost. So as Jesus is painting this picture in front of his disciples, they understood what he was saying. What Jesus was telling him is, I'll be there any time for you. I'm not going to be like the friend in the story. I'm going to be different than that. I'll be there at the most odd times, in the weirdest places. I will be there for you. You can count on me. You're never too inconvenient for me. I will answer you when you call, and my reputation is on the line. I think there's three levels of prayer that Jesus speaks of here. Three levels: ask, seek, and knock. The first and the most simplest and the easiest level of prayer is to ask. There are certain needs which we require that we just merely need to ask God. They're immediate. You're going from your school to your house. You're going to say, Lord, just protect me as I go home. It's an immediate answer. Or maybe you need courage for something. Or maybe you need wisdom for something. Or maybe you need patience. They all fall in this realm of just ask and it will be given. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask, and I will give it to him. The second level of prayer is seeking. When you think about seeking, I think about my children, because they'll yell down from the upstairs saying, Mom, I can't find my socks. It's amazing what mothers can do. You can find anything. You know, the dad can't find it, the kids can't find it, but Mom can find it. But when they go up there, it's a search. Seeking is searching. It's searching. It's looking. Something that's lost. Something that's hidden from you, and you're asking God, show it to me. I'm seeking you, God. You got to show it to me. It's a plead for insight. I don't understand, God. You've got to open the doors. You've got to give me understanding. Help me clarify what's going on. It's understanding maybe some mystery or some situation that you just can't explain. Seeking is asking God, show me what that looks like. It's a constant looking and asking God, reveal it to me. The third level of prayer is knocking. And this is the hardest one. The knocking. The knocking. The knocking. It's time and repetitions involved in it. It's a request for admission. You want to go into some place. Knocking is just not walking the door. It's standing there and it's repetitive. It's multiple raps. It's hitting God. God. God, I need you. Help me, God. It's letting you in. It can be fit into categories where there's barriers. You got a relationship with someone in your life that's a kid, or maybe one of your children that have left you. Maybe it's an employer at work that just won't let you talk to them. Maybe it's a relationship where your wife has just said, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. It's a barrier, and you need a door open. And it's saying, God, I need your help. I need your help. Open the door. Open their heart. I need admission into their heart. Those are the hard prayers. If it's children, we're longing for God to move. Maybe it can be an opportunity where you want to go into a ministry And you need God to open the door. Maybe it's a new job. I need you to open the door, God. Those are not easy prayers where you just wham, shoot them up there and hope things work. No. Constant knocking. I need to open. But you know what? When you do that, God promises that He'll open the door. But the question is, what door is He going to open? Where is He going to take you? You know what I've learned about knocking? God changes my perspective when I knock. You know, when I first start knocking at something, God, I want to be a race car driver. And before I know it, He said, you're not cut out to do that. But I'm knocking. Yes, we should keep on asking, seeking and knocking. But it's not to break down God's resistance. It's not like there's some God behind this door, and if we just keep banging on that door, He'll finally say, fine. No. His resistance, but it reveals to Him our great concern that we want to do His will. You see, in prayer sometimes we want it to be about us. And what prayer needs to be about is dependence for us to do what He wants us to do. Principle number 3. Persistence in prayer depends on God for an answer. Persistence in prayer depends on God for an answer. So let me ask you a question. What kind of knocker are you? What kind of knocker? Are you a banger? You get up there and you just knock the door down. God, I need an answer. I need an answer. Or maybe the question is, am I persistent in my prayer life? Are you one of these folks that just throws it out there and it didn't answer, so God doesn't want me to do it? Or I threw it out there and I didn't get an answer, so I'll just do it myself. I like that one. That's more my favorite, myself. I love that kind of stuff. And I had a very interesting question asked to me as I have put this together. When do I stop praying? Maybe some of you have been moms that hadn't been able to have a baby. This particular mother asked me that question. She's been knocking. God, I want a baby. God, I want a baby. God, I want a baby. 10 years. 10 years. When do you stop? When do you stop saying, God, I'm done with it. I'm just done with it. You know what I think it is? Have I thought about that? It's not about the answer. It's not about the answer. It's about the dependence. It's about the Savior. It's about the God that you're knocking on the door for. He knows what you need. It's about knocking. Provision of a loving Father. Jesus uses this last illustration here. And He explains God's eagerness to meet every need. And I don't know if you notice this, but these two illustrations that He uses, the first one is a friend to a friend, and the second one is a father to a child. There's a big difference between your friends and your father on answering things that we want in my life. My kids can ask their friends for things, and they won't give them anything, or they don't care. But when they ask for me things, I have a son today that I had this little wrestling match with, not physically, about whether or not he needed something. And we talked about that. As a father, we have to determine whether or not he needs it, or he wants it, or should I give it to him? A father. Jesus indicated a stronger tie between God and man than between a friend and a friend. And this is a very critical thing right here. Prayer is not about performance. It's about a heart change. Our spiritual life is found in depending, not doing. We love the checklist. We love the things that say, good Christians do this. And so all of us go out and we just check them off. And at the end of our life, we say, I checked more boxes than you did. So God's got to give me a better deal. No, that's not the measurement of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is measured by this. Dependency. Depending on God. God the Father is eager to see us grow as His sons and daughters. When you and I come to Him depending on Him to work in our lives and through our actions, asking Him for strength, forgiveness, leading, enablement, then God works a sweeping change in our personality. Principle number four. Persistence in prayer will be responded to by a heavenly Father that knows what's best for you. Are you a persistent prayer? Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for to make those changes in your life? But it takes persistence. But the persistence is not about changing God's mind. And I really believe for a lot of time in my prayer life, I really believe that if I talk the right way and act the right way and say it the right way, then God will see it my way. That's not prayer. Prayer is just saying, you know what? What's the deal? It's all about you. It's not about me. And I'm coming to you and saying, God, give me my daily bread just for today. The highway to spiritual transformation is the path of total dependence in prayer. It is the only way that we will get there, is through prayer. Let's pray. Father, there are times in our lives that we're just not knocking. Father, we're just not asking. We're not seeking. And Lord, I just pray and confess to you that a lot of times in my own life, Lord, I just don't do it. Father, I pray tonight as we've heard your message so clearly and your model of prayer so loudly, Father, it's about depending on a heavenly Father that loves us. Father, help us not to run on our own. Lord, give us that focus that only you can give. And Lord, I pray as we come to you as a father that you would teach us well, love us well. Pray for that. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, if you haven't ever, you don't know that much about our church, we'd love to tell you some more about it. You can come up and speak to me after the service. And if you are asking some questions about what this is all about, you're not sure what prayer and all this is about, and I'd love to talk to you about it. I'd love to share with you that there is a heavenly Father that loves you more than anybody, and that He can meet your needs. And I'd love to share that with you tonight.